Many bewildering issues in this world at the moment, but I think one that bewilders me more than most is the decisions against our Olympic gold medalist Caster Semenya. To put it simply, we're battling drugs in sport, and for her to compete in her desired events, she is being obligated to take drugs. She must take hormone blockers if she wishes to compete in the middle distance events that she is so expert in. That is now the final ruling. Interesting column today on this subject from a senior sports writer at Sports 24, Sibusiso Umjikiliso, and he joins me now on the show. Sibusiso, a very good afternoon to you.
Hi, thanks for having me on your show.
Bewildering. We're in a sort of, I mean, you feel like we've gone through the looking glass into Alice in Wonderland territory or something here. This is a very strange situation, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely diabolical situation whereby the World Athletics Federation has got this rather hollow victory to ban Caster Semenya from doing her favorite 800, 400 or the mile. But she's still can compete in the 200, and they haven't solved the problem that DSD athletes or athletes with DSD conditions in future how they will be treated, whether fairly or unfairly, and they've just been granted this blank check to carry out this regulation. But no one's really interrogated how it's going to be carried out. And I managed to find information, which was obviously widely out there, but put it together in that they're going to use the subjective selection of investigators. So it's going to come down to human error once again as to who is flagged for testing for DSD. And I see a potential landmine there yet again.
It's a most extraordinary concept. I don't know of any other sport where there are regulations around these issues which apply only to particular events.
That's the insane thing, because you're saying that testosterone gives you an advantage over other female athletes. At the same time, you're saying, no, it only gives you the advantage in the 400-meter hurdles, and 800 and 1500, like I said, whereas there's actual scientific proof that testosterone probably helps you in a whole lot more than that. And also there isn't a proven correlation between synthetic testosterone, which is the testosterone you can buy over the counter or get prescribed, to biochemical testosterone. So by using those hormone blockers, you don't know how you're chemically altering your natural testosterone, because there isn't a proven, scientifically proven relationship between the two kinds of testosterone. So you're messing up your entire body and completely, and you can get why Caster Semenya doesn't want to touch this stuff.
And the development of sex disorder, DSD as you call it, regulations, how will they work? How do they decide who must, do all athletes get tested for this? Or how do they determine who must or must not take these hormone blockers?
Yeah, this then comes down to the eye test that I mentioned. It's in the analysis piece because, you know, I was listening to Dr. Ross Tucker's podcast, and he speaks at length about this, that It will come down to the IAAF or World Athletics' investigators, medical examiners. And like, what is a medical examiner, and how do they determine who to test for DSD or not? And they're hoping that athletes will come forward and disclose that they have a DSD condition. But why would an athlete do that, having seen the treatment that's been meted out to Caster Semenya, having seen the treatment to Francine Nyonsaba? Why would anyone want to volunteer that information, knowing that they're going to be unfairly targeted, unfairly treated from here on end? So it's going to be a game of cat and mouse, a game of chicken between the now medical examiners who've just been told that, hey, be on the lookout for any women that look manly and are winning races and beating other women, and let's flag them up for DSD disorders. And it seems like a huge human rights violation, if you ask me. And I don't know how far Caster Semenya wants to take it. Maybe it might be too far for her to try and compete at the 800. She might not get the verdict in time to compete and defend her gold medal in Japan next year. But if she wanted to make a social impact and challenge it, she could. I mean, it's something that will last. If she defeats World Athletics in the Human Rights Court, that's going to last well beyond her athletics career.
So at the moment, Custer's view is, I'm not doing this. I'm not taking hormone blockers. So as it stands, I cannot compete in 400 hurdles, not that she does that, 800 or 15. So her view is, I'm not taking it. I'm not competing. Do you have any idea what you consider maybe trying, I don't know, the 200 or something outside this bizarre window?
Yeah, no, absolutely. She has tried the 200, excuse me, before the lockdown came into effect. She had run a couple of 200-meter races, but here's the bizarre thing is that, you know, there's not much difference. Experts will tell you that there's not much difference between the 400 and the 200. You know, you've got some of the best athletes in the world, like Michael Johnson, for instance, was a champion in 400 and 200. So you're saying that, sure, you can run the 200 on one day, and then you can't run the 400 the next day. Absolutely diabolical. But Caster Semenya has confirmed that she's going to try her hand at the 200. Her times are impressive. But they're not exactly the kind of times that you think would be definitely. They're not at a medal contending time. I mean, she recorded a 23.80. She's going to have to shave a whole second off that just to reach the qualifying time, which is 22.80 for that 200-meter race. So she's got a lot of work ahead of her. But I'd spoken to one of the top sprinting coaches, Henny Creel, a while back, saying that, you know what, Caster is a special individual, and if anybody's got it in her to defy the odds, it's Caster Semenya. You know, it's never been really done where someone is a champion at the 200 and 800. It does seem like quite a leap. I mean, there's a guy called Alberto Quartarena who won the 400 and 800 in the Montreal Games in 76. But that's as close as you're going to get, and you've got, obviously, Michael Johnson.
I remember Quartarena. He was a physical freak. He was so tall, and he just had such a stride. He was a Cuban athlete. He was phenomenal. Has Semenya got any routes left? Are all legal avenues closed now?
Unfortunately, this is the end of the line for her legal challenge against this regulation. Unfortunately, CAS has argued the principle of fair competition too well for all the lack of scientific evidence for the entire Shoddy case that they were said to have presented at CAS and you know. But that principle of fair competition won them the case, and then they won the appeal at the Swiss Federal Supreme Court. And unfortunately, as far as Caster and the 800-meter race, it's goodbye, because she won't take the drugs, and she has absolutely every right not to. She's not going to have surgery, and she's not going to run in the men's races. So which are the only real options that they give her. And, you know, the weird thing is that CAS ruled that this wasn't an unfair rule in that she's not forced to take the drugs, if you know what I mean. They're not mandatory. Nah. They're optional. But, I mean, come on. It's not even, you're not giving a person an option. It's like saying, I need to type my stories, but I'm going to chop off both your hands. You know, you're not forced to use a, you know, some dictating method vocally, but hey, that's the only option you have. So, like, it's totally unfair, and it doesn't solve their problems. Like I said, there's much more down the line that they're going to face.
Super Sister, thank you very much. Excellent summary of it. And you can find more in his column in News 24 Today, Analysis Why Caster Semenya Targeted Testosterone Law Solves a Few Problems for World Athletics. It is a very, very convoluted reading ruling.